Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
High is 15 Fahrenheit, cloudy tonight, a few light showers likely, and colder low in the middle 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy and colder with a few light showers of flow snurries likely. High near 40 there. I want to say thanks to Bill Bailey from Calumet High School, who stopped up to see us today, and he walked in. He said, "Boy, you get uglier every day since last week. You look bleh." Oh, boy. I want to say hi to Effie Margaret in Charleston, South Carolina, from Diane Edwards in Chicago. Love and kisses to Nancy of Robinson from Diana of Robinson. And Joe, Sharon wants to with you. Go study. And Robin wants to go study with James. And Dave loves Betty in hometown. Isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful, huh? And I'm also an honorary member of the Barnyard Bullies. Well, how about that, huh? Pretty wonderful. That's what... Here is Bobby V, and the night has a thousand eyes.
We need to do that more on our show here. Announce who's going steady with who. The great Dick Biondi from 1962. When he ruled the airwaves on WLS back in the day, heralding in the top 40 era of radio in Chicago, there are not too many radio personalities in America that can say that they have spanned the decades like Dick Biondi has from the 60s, really up until fairly recently. He was on the air having fun and playing rock and roll. And now a documentary is being made to honor Dick Biondi, the Dick Biondi film. Its director, Pamela Ensweiler Police, joins us on the phone line right now. Pamela, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on, Dean.
You must get goosebumps, I'll bet, just hearing Dick's voice back in the heyday.
You know, it takes me right back to, I'm still living in the past, let me tell you. Doing this project has been so much fun. It's just incredible. I got to meet all of the artists that I grew up with listening to on the radio, you know, making this project. I never in a million years would have dreamed this happened to me, especially after I retired.
Right. Well, I was a little kid growing up on the South Side, and when I was listening to some of these old tapes of Dick Biondi from the 60s and 70s, I realized that it was guys like Dick Biondi that had influenced me without me even knowing it. When I remember,
I can imagine
how much fun that they seemed to be having so much fun.
Have fun,
and I would tune in every night. I'd have my little transistor radio, you know, the earplug, so my parents wouldn't know that I was listening to the radio when I was supposed to have gone to bed. Listening to all this, and I'm sure that must have had some kind of influence on me. And you were also a kid growing up listening to Dick Biondi and all the others from back in the day, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was 13 when I met Dick in 1961. I was already a huge fan, and when I met him, I just couldn't get over what a humble, nice person he was, because at the time, I knew he was popular, but in my research, I found out he was number one disc jockey in America that year and the following year in 62. A lot of people think Dick is just a local DJ, but, you know, his name and his voice have been known across the country, and actually outside the country. When he was at WLS in the early 60s, that signal was so big, it took his voice every state in America, up into Canada.
Sure, boomed out everywhere.
And it bounced around the world.
he was such a unique kind of personality as well. I mean, you know, other DJs, even on the top 40 stations, you know, there was a certain amount of decorum to the other DJs who were playing the same songs, but Dick just seemed to be, you know, saying whatever came to his mind, and I'm the ugliest guy on radio, and singing on top of a pizza, and like all these crazy things that were happening. It's not a surprise whatsoever that people from all over America, not just Chicago, from where he emanated his show, but from all over America, we're tuning in to hear, what's this crazy guy doing? This crazy Italian, as he used to.
It's infectious, really.
Yeah. When did you get the idea to do this documentary on Dick?
You know, it's a crazy thing. Ever since I met Dick, and I've known him my whole life, I've had a file folder with all my, you know, little clippings and so forth, and it's always been something I wanted to do is tell Dick's story, but it wasn't until I started to get into video production and started making these little video memoirs that I start showing them to Dick, and he really liked them, and I kept thinking in the back of my mind, gee, I wonder if I could tell Dick's story. But I knew it was such a big story, and I knew I'd have to come out of my comfort zone to do it because there's all these rock and roll stars and radio people, and, you know, and it was a big, you know, I had to make a big decision. And but I did, and I said, you know what? What the heck? I've got to try it. So it's just been unbelievable. It's been 5 years now. I've just, the thing has snowballed. There's so many people that have jumped on board to help me and get this thing going, and it's just like this grassroots movement to get this film done for PBS. And it will run on PBS. WTTW wants it. There's other stations around the country that want to run it when it's done. We just need to find our financing and our funding, and that's what we're holding this big fundraiser coming up next Sunday at the Bourbon Street on the south side.
Oh, that's a fun place.
It's a fun place.
We do our annual St. Patrick's Day broadcast for the WGN-TV morning news out at Bourbon Street. And
absolutely.
Technically, it's Marionette Park, I think, but it's like
115th
mm-hmm. and Kedzie, something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. It's 3359 West 115th Street.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's a fun place. It's enormous, and it's fun. And you've got all kinds of bands that are going to be performing, and I mean it's quite an evening that you've got planned.
Well, it's actually an afternoon from 2 to 6.
Okay,
because we figured, you know, our audience is mostly baby boomers,
right? We go to bed early, right?
Yeah, you got it. So it includes a buffet dinner, beer and wine and soda all afternoon, and we have a lineup of fabulous Chicago 60s bands that are playing. Headliner is the New Colony 6.
Wow.
And we have special guests, Jim Peterick of the Ides of March.
Cool.
Carl Giammarisi of the Buckingham.
Right.
Jay Reinke of Jay and the Americans. And Dennis Stefano, the original voice of the Buckinghams, all performing.
Wow.
So we are so thrilled to have these guys. These guys are huge.
That is going to be
a lot of fun.
That is going to be a fun afternoon, and next Sunday, a week from today, April 28th at 115 Bourbon Street, which is it's basically 115th and Kedzie. And if people want to get more information on the event itself, what's the best way to do that?
Go to our website. And it's dickbiondyfilm.com.
Okay, I want to
there's a little button right there. It says fundraiser. You click on that button. There you go.
Okay, we'll remind everybody about that again in a minute. I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I just want to talk about, you know, everyone has been concerned. How is Dick doing? What's the latest? I would imagine you probably have the most updated information on that. Let me take a break and we'll come right back with Pamela Ensweiler-Police, who is the director of the Dick Biondi film, the documentary on one of the most legendary radio DJs of all time. That's all next for you on WGN.
WCFL.
There's new adventure always in Adventureland.
The great Dick Biondi.
Super Himalaya imported.
Going from WLS to WCFL.
The largest roller coaster at Adventureland. There's always
playing the hits.
New at Adventureland.
Cranking out some of these great old commercials.
Every day is an adventure.
The documentary is called the Dick Biondi film, and it's directed by Pamela Ensweiler Police, who's on the phone line with us right now. Pamela, walk us through Dick's career here in Chicago. It started at WLS, right?
That's correct. And actually, when Dick was in high school, he used to hang out at the local radio station. And he got the bug early on when he was 8 years old, actually. He read a commercial on the air, and he got hooked. And he was just, you know, he had this dream of becoming a very well-known radio announcer. And he, as soon as he got out of high school in 1950, he went down south to Alexandria, Louisiana. And he started playing race records. You know, that was rhythm and blues before it was called rhythm and blues. And you know, he was often the only white guy in the club, and he really got an education down there and fell in love with rhythm and blues. And when rock and roll hit, he went to Youngstown, Ohio, and he was ready to, you know, he was ready for rock and roll because of his education down south. So when he suddenly became this really big, popular DJ, he started, you know, playing records, and people would go out and buy them, and he was known as a hit maker. And he just, his popularity grew and grew. He knew that when he discovered rock and roll, that was it. He was, that was where he wanted to be. So after he left Youngstown, he went to Buffalo, New York, and he was really big
enormous, was
it? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And then he got fired, which is something that Dick did often.
How many times
25
was...
25 times.
How many times? 20, he was fired 25.
25.
That's even more than Steve Cochran. That's hard to believe. That's hard to believe.
Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing.
I mean,
yeah.
He kept moving around the country, and that's why he's known everywhere.
Right. So that brought him to... Chicago?
That's when he came to Chicago, yeah. And in Chicago, that's when he found his greatest success, and that's when his dream came true. And he loves Chicago. He just loves it.
Now,
this is his second home.
To put it into perspective, at the time, WLS was playing country music.
That's right.
And it was, what was it, like the prairie farmer? Something like that.
Yeah.
It could not have been any different from what it suddenly became when they flipped the switch and it became a top 40 station. And, you know, suddenly they were playing all these songs, and this crazy guy was on the radio.
Exactly.
Screaming and, doing all kinds of nutty things like that. I can only imagine.
And the farmers were not happy.
The farmers, I'm sure, were not happy about the whole thing. So what happened? He got fired at WLS? Was that the real deal story?
He got fired. It's going to be in our movie because there's a lot. The urban legend is still alive, Dean. This is just amazing. All these years later, people still ask. It's one of the first things they ask. Did he get fired for telling that dirty joke on the air? Or, you know, the truth of it is, well, I really don't want to tell you the truth, but one of the rumors is that he got in a fist fight with his boss over the amount of commercials that were being played.
That's what I heard.
So we're gonna go back and forth between those two.
So see the documentary.
What is the truth?
See the documentary to get the truth. From there, he goes to WCFL, where
went out to the West Coast.
Oh, he went to the West Coast first.
Yeah, KRLA, and he introduced the Beatles. You know, I didn't mention this when he was at WLS. He played the first Beatles record on the air in the country, and it was a year before they appeared on Ed Sullivan, and nobody really cared. I mean, they were like, who's this?
Right.
You know, this is so different.
I've heard lots of people make claim to the fact that they were the first ones to play the Beatles.
Yeah, but he really is.
Okay.
It's documented.
Fired at KRLA?
I guess you'd say that. He always says fired, you know,
He wears that as a badge of distinction.
And then
came to Chicago, back to Chicago?
That's correct. Well, in between the stints, he had two stints at KRLA. In between there, he did a show out of New York City, and it was a nationally syndicated program for Young America.
Wow.
Mutual Network.
Okay.
And that lasted a year.
Okay.
And then he came back to CFL.
Yeah, okay. And then had a very long career there. Went away for a little while and then came back to Chicago in the 1980s and was on a variety of radio stations then. It's a rather remarkable career and a rather remarkable story. Tell me how Dick Biondi is doing right now.
Dick is doing well. He's retired now. He retired in April of 2017. At the time he left the air because of a leg ailment, he was intending to come back. You know, it just hasn't happened. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's retired now and enjoying his retirement.
Okay.
So
well, good.
We're happy for him.
Good deal. The movie, the fundraiser for the movie is going to be next Sunday, a week from today, at 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park. You can get more info at dickbiondifilm.com. Pamela Ensweiler Police is the director of the film, and I'm glad you could join us today, Pamela. Thank you so much. Keep us posted on the progress
with
it all.
I will, Dean.
All right?
Thank you for having me.
We're going to update
and
news.
And happy Easter.
Thank you, and
everybody.
Same to you. We'll be right back to update news next on WGN.